Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. A switch to a plant-based diet doesn't mean sacrifice or missing out. We get to revel and enjoy the most flavorful, colorful, life-enhancing foods available that contribute to your health and longevity. Cooking with the most healthful ingredients nature has to offer is a real joy. Our featured guest today is acclaimed vegan cook and cookbook author, Nava Atlas, the author of the new best-selling cookbook, Plant Power, Transform Your Kitchen, Plate, and Life, with more than 150 fresh and flavorful vegan recipes. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, studies show that watercress may have anti-cancer properties. A University of Ulster study reported that eating watercress daily, about 85 grams, can significantly reduce DNA damage to blood cells, which is linked to the development of cancer, plus boosts the ability to the cells to ward off further DNA damage caused by free radicals. These benefits were most evident in smokers. Well, there's more important research on the flavonoid quercetin. Preliminary studies suggest that quercetin may be effective in the treatment of prostatitis. That's enlarged prostate. Well, there's more studies to show that turnips can be important for overall health. Turnips contain very high levels of phytonutrients called glucosinolates, which are responsible for the secretion of special enzymes that remove cancer-causing substances from the body. Also, the high fiber in turnips promotes regularity and helps prevent and treat intestinal conditions, including colorectal cancer, constipation, diarrhea, diverticular disease, hemorrhoids, and irritable bowel syndrome. Well, hypertension is on the rise. Rising blood pressure is mostly related to lifestyle, according to research. The exact causes of hypertension are not entirely clear, but many factors can contribute to its development, including smoking, being overweight, inactivity, high salt intake, high-fat diet, high alcohol intake, stress, aging, family history of high blood pressure, chronic kidney disease, and thyroid disorders. High blood pressure has no apparent cause and is called primary or essential hypertension, and it is the most common type. It often responds to positive lifestyle changes such as improved diet, weight loss, and exercise. Secondary hypertension is associated with an organic cause such as pregnancy or thyroid disease. Avoiding the salt shaker and salty foods can help reduce blood pressure, and you can boost that effort by including high potassium foods in your diet, including apricots, avocados, bananas, cantaloupe, oranges, prunes, tomatoes, and vegetable juice. We'll be right back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is, what are the health benefits of turmeric? Turmeric is a much revered spice or herb that comes from the root of the curcuma longa plant. Both Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine practitioners have used turmeric for millennia for its anti-inflammatory properties. Now, you won't see a list of vitamins and minerals associated with turmeric, but its healing properties come in other forms. Many of the health benefits offered by turmeric appear to be linked to its volatile oil and, more importantly, to its orange or yellow pigment called curcumin. The anti-inflammatory effects of curcumin can relieve the inflammation and pain associated with arthritis, bursitis, fibromyalgia, and tendinitis. Studies show that curcumin's anti-inflammatory effects compare with those over-the-counter and prescription medications, but without the side effects.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
And our featured guest today on Health and Longevity is Nava Atlas. Nava is an acclaimed vegan cook, creator of the popular VegKitchen.com, and best-selling author of Wild About Greens, Vegan Holiday Kitchen, Vegan Express, and the Vegetarian 5-Ingredient Gourmet Cookbooks. And also today we're going to be talking about her newest book, which is a beautiful book called Plant Power, Transform Your Kitchen, Plate, and Life, with more than 150 fresh and flavorful vegan recipes. Nava also has written for Vegetarian Times, Veg News, Cooking Light, and numerous other publications, and she lives with her husband in New York's Hudson Valley. Well, Nava, thanks so much for being with us today on Health and Longevity.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Well, you know, this is a wonderful book, a beautiful book with wonderful pictures and great tasting and looking vegan recipes published by Harper One. Tell us a little about your journey and how you discovered the plant-based lifestyle.
Well, my journey started a long time ago. I was a rebellious teen, and for some reason, I just never liked meat. So when I got to be a certain age, which was all of about 14, I asked my mom if I could start cooking so I could disguising the meat. I mean, you know, the word vegetarian, vegan was definitely not on the radar. Vegetarian, barely. But after a couple years of disguising meat, I did discover that some people don't eat it. And I told my family I no longer want to eat meat. That was not exactly met with cheers. And my mom said, if you want to be a vegetarian, you'll have to cook your own meals. So I thought, great. She thought it would put an end to it, but I was very excited. And I started shopping for myself, cooking. I would call it hippie cuisine.
Uh-huh.
But to me, it was wonderful, and I enjoyed it, and I really took to cooking. And after a couple of years, my family all came around. I was the youngest in my family, but everybody became at least veg-friendly, if not vegetarian, after me. And I have to say that some years later, when we had our own kids, my husband and I, we raised them from the start as vegetarian. Again, vegan wasn't quite on the radar yet. This was, our oldest is 25 now. But after what I call the age of the internet started to happen, I started to read about all the things about dairy, and I thought, well, should I really be giving dairy to kids? Or on the other hand, can kids really grow up without dairy? You know, we're all products of our conditioning.
Yes.
We went to see a small dairy farm, and after that, you know, it was like my youngest child, who was at the time was 10 years old, just he could not become vegan fast enough. And so I was the first in my original family. He was the first in our family, and that's a real source of pride with me. And, you know, we all followed shortly thereafter to become completely vegan.
Well, you know, there are some of the material you mentioned, and I see in your press information here about debunking the top myths about plant-based diets and vegan diets. I'll go over some of them. Maybe you comment. Now, one of the myths is you'll never get enough protein on a plant-based diet.
Well, you know, that's one of those that refuses to die, right?
Yes.
That's almost the first question that comes out of people's mouths who are not familiar with plant-based diet. And as you know, longtime vegans kind of roll their eyes and become very impatient. But, you know, I think it's a valid question because people are asking it. They're not challenging me. They really want to learn. So so I tell them. I tell them, you know, first of all, that it's really not difficult to get enough protein on a plant-based diet. If you're getting sufficient calories and if you have a varied diet, then I go into what alternative forms of protein, which are beans and legumes, tofu, tempeh, and seitan, nuts, nut butters, seeds, even pastas, whole grain pastas have quite a lot of protein in them. Of course, the whole grains, quinoa and barley and brown rice. And in all the various combinations that we eat throughout the day, it's really not hard to get the sufficient amount of protein. And sufficient is really the watchword here, because as you probably know, having too much protein is really hard on the whole system.
That is. In fact, it's almost impossible. If you eat a whole plant food diet with no meat, you're going to get all the protein you need, even more than your body needs. And most Americans are getting way too much protein. That's a problem. But here's another myth. You'll always be hungry as the food isn't filling enough.
Yes, that's a good one, too, because I feel like people say that without having tried it. So they're kind of what I call pre-worried about that. It's not that they've tried a vegan diet and they've found themselves to be hungry. They're just sort of worried that that's what's going to happen, because you think of, well, how could I get filled up on salad or raw food or something? But, you know, I say to people, this kind of food is really filling. It digests very slowly. For example, if you have a bean chili with cornbread, that's going to keep you satiated for a very long time, with, you know, really a low amount of fat, but it's just really, it fuels you. And almost every style of eating that, you know, that I discuss in the book is really very satiating, both physically, and it sort of fills your soul as well, if you know what I mean.
Yes. And here's a real myth, that particularly if you go through your book and see all the wonderful pictures and read all the recipes, you'll know this is a myth, and this is plant-based diets are boring and restrictive.
Yes. People say, well, you know, I don't think I could do it because I travel and there won't be anything to eat and, you know, it's too time-consuming. I work till 6 or 7. So, you know, again, all of these things can be dispelled, and I work very hard to disabuse people of these notions. In fact, every vegan I know say that when they adopted a completely plant-based diet, their culinary world actually expanded greatly rather than contracted, because you have all these wonderful ethnic cuisines to explore. And there's so many different ways, and we can talk about that a little bit later in this interview, about thinking about how to put together a plant-based meal that's really colorful, interesting, satisfying. And my husband often says, I'm not sure if this is really the case, but he said in all the years we've been married, and we've been married a long time, that we've rarely had the same meal twice at home. It's probably almost true.
Well, you know, and we're going to start getting into this now, because we've talked quite a bit about the benefits and health benefits of vegan vegetarian diet. With you today, I'd like to talk to you about the culinary benefits of the vegan and plant-based diet. Tell us some of the benefits, really, from a culinary standpoint and healthy and cooking standpoint about going on an all plant-based diet.
Well, I arranged the book in such a way that people could approach meal making with the same enthusiasm that you'd take to deciding where you want to eat if you're eating out. So, for example, one of the chapters is called Asian Express. Another, that's like, okay, let's go out for Chinese or Thai. Mm-hmm. Tortilla specialties. You know, people like to go out for tacos or Mexican food. Plant-powered pasta and pizza. So it's sort of like, well, instead of going out for Italian, we stay in for Italian. And then bowlfuls, which means, you know, really hearty soups or chili, things that you, or stew, like curries, things like that. So the mindset is, I can have what I like, but I can make it easily at home with really healthy ingredients. Oh, another category would be wraps, sandwiches, and burgers. Again, what I'm trying to do here is, instead of thinking of vegan cuisine as something really esoteric and exotic and expensive, these are foods that people are already aware of. These are styles of meals that people are used to seeing. So we're just doing it in a healthier, plant-based way, inexpensively at home, and in a very enjoyable manner. So that's how I set up the book, so that people could approach it with that sense of, you know, I'm familiar with this, but now I can make it in a much healthier way rather than, oh my gosh, I can't have pizza anymore, because as you know, that's totally not true.
That's right. There's so many great all plant-powered pizzas that you can have, and you've got some great recipes in your book. You know, let's say we have a listener today that's saying, you know, I really want to do this. I want to go all plant-powered diet, and maybe you could give some hints. There's some things they're going to need to move out of the kitchen and move out of the storage, and maybe give to other people that may be interested, but they want to get their pantry set up with the staples of a plant-powered diet. What are the things they need to stock their kitchen with?
That's a really good question. And again, this is also how I set up the book, so that first you're transforming your kitchen and then you start cooking. Because in as much as these are ingredients that, like I said, they're not expensive or esoteric or exotic, but there is you do have to shift your thinking about what you're going to keep in the kitchen. First of all, you want to get rid of anything that's made out of white flour or white sugar, mm-hmm. or that's really super... you know, the really prepackaged types of foods, and move in the whole ingredients. And so I really go through that. I go through the pantry setup with quite a number of pages. And the basis of it, first of all, the proteins that we just talked about. One of my top staples are, and I have to admit, I'm a bit lazy when it comes to beans. I use them a lot, but I never think of cooking them ahead of time. I just feel like in this lifetime I want to tackle that, because I love beans. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll get a slow cooker, because I understand they come out really delicious when you cook them in a slow cooker. But I do keep a lot of canned beans on hand, simply because there's just so much you can do with them.
Sure. And of course, canned beans, you know, you worry about canned vegetables because they'll lose some of their nutritional value, but canned beans maintain their nutritional value.
They do. And if you buy organic brands, they're also not as salty. You know, you rinse away that liquid. Even with organic beans, I rinse away the liquid, and I, you know, so you get rid of a lot of the sodium that way. Organic canned beans are also less salty in the first place, and a lot of organic canned bean brands come in BPA-free cans, so that's a nice advantage as well. I like to stock whole grains. My go-to whole grain is quinoa. Mainly because, first of all, I think it tastes really good. It cooks really fast, and you can do so much with it. When I say it cooks really fast, we're talking about 15 minutes, 20 tops. The other day, I thought, I really have to vary my diet a little bit from quinoa, so I cooked millet, and I thought, well, I don't know. I guess I'm a real quinoa fan. Somehow, after having gotten used to quinoa, millet just didn't seem to do it for me. Mm-hmm. Do you use millet much?
I do sometimes, but not as much as, you know, we're using a lot of quinoa right now, too. And brown rice, we use a lot of that, of course.
Right. I also like brown rice. And there's something about, you know, millet is teeny tiny like quinoa, but it doesn't cook up quite as quickly. It doesn't seem quite as versatile. So, yeah, sometimes when you have something you really like, it's nice to stick with it. Other things to keep in the pantry are... you know, a really good quantity of dried herbs and spices. I really try to encourage the cook in the recipes. They have to taste good to you. I give seasonings as a guideline, but I want people to make the recipes their own. I've always encouraged readers to do that. I consider garlic, onions, potatoes, and sweet potatoes pantry staples, because for most of the year they can stay out at room temperature. And for me, it feels like, you know, if I'm out of potatoes and sweet potatoes, it's time to go shopping. Now, I talk about kind of once in a while, I make a distinction between convenience foods and convenient foods. So convenience foods are meals that sort of are already prepared for you. We don't need those. But convenient items are, let's say, marinara sauce. You can get really good, very low salt, no sugar marinara sauce. You know, if it's not tomato season, I probably won't make marinara sauce from scratch. I would say, well, you know, maybe I'll let Paul Newman make it for me. But there are also other very good brands. Something like salsa, again, if it's not tomato season, I will buy salsa. Salsa is so useful. You could even put it in a pot of plain rice and beans and put in some salsa, and you practically have dinner. Let's see, things like vegetable broth, again, for the slightly lazier cook who's not going to make their own vegetable stock, when you start a plant-based soup, I really enjoy starting with a low-sodium vegetable broth. I think it just adds a real lot of flavor. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean about some convenient items to have on hand that really make dinner making so much easier and quicker.
And as far as condiments that you mentioned earlier to me before we started the show about Bragg Organic Apple Cider Vinegar.
I keep that in my kitchen all the time. I just love it. This summer I made a lot of refrigerator pickles using Bragg Organic Apple Cider Vinegar. It is the best. I just think the flavor is really so nice and mild. And sometimes I make cucumber lemonade, and aside from the lemon, I also put in some of the apple cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've talked about this a lot on your show, where it has, aside from the flavor, there's a lot of health benefits, and it's very good for the digestive system.
Well, one thing, too, that type of vinegar is raw. It's unfiltered. It's unpasteurized, unrefined. It's got the mother in it, and there's just a lot of good health benefits with that, as well as a good flavor, of course, from the culinary standpoint.
Oh, it's excellent. I use it as a basis also for my homemade vinaigrettes, because now I'm no longer lazy about making my own salad dressing. I just feel like, you know, it's those bottles are very expensive, and it takes all of about 3 or 4 minutes to make a really nice homemade salad dressing. That's a really good way to get some of the Bragg goodness into you, too.
I understand, too, you mentioned some soy sauces here, but you mentioned that you like to use the Bragg liquid aminos, too.
Yeah, I do. I find it less salty. There's a sort of a really pleasant undertone to it,
right,
that's a little bit more complex than soy sauce, which is the salt flavor is very overpowering. And I just enjoy putting a squirt or two of the liquid amino in place of soy sauce. I just find it's just really gentler on the palate. I like it a lot.
You know, we have a little bit of time left, or maybe can you give us a quick over of the book and mention some of these great recipes? Like, for instance, what's your favorite recipe in your whole book? There's probably a lot of them.
I was going to say, I know people are going to ask me that, and I never have a really good answer. The only thing I can say is that my favorite chapter is the Asian Express.
Okay.
Because I really do like Asian food quite a bit, and I think it really lends itself to this kind of last-minute flash cooking, using a lot of very fresh foods, vegetables. I really like kind of sizzling tofu and tempeh dishes. I love colorful stir fries, and I really enjoy noodles. So I have a recipe in here that is just sort of a real go-to of mine, veggie lo mein, using udon or soba. What's really nice about soba noodles is that people who don't use wheat can use them because it's made of buckwheat. And I think I'm pretty sure they're considered gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just mixing that with green beans and broccoli and Napa cabbage, it's just such a satisfying and very quick meal. So I would just say that is my favorite chapter. My favorite surprise chapter was the tortilla specialties. For some reason, it's not my go-to, but when I made them and when I kind of thought about tortilla meals for the book, I really grew very fond of them, and one of the reasons is that very often the cook needs to make only one central item. Like, for example, I'm looking at the black bean tostadas. All the cook has really had to do is make the black bean filling, and then everybody assembles the tostada at the table. So
right.
We have the shredded lettuce, some cut up avocado, some salsa, you know, homemade or store-bought. And people kind of make the meal. It looks so festive, and yet it's so easy. On the same token, there's also soft tacos, which, again, such an easy thing to do. There's just really no excuse anymore for reaching for the takeout drawer. So in the soft tacos with tempeh and walnut filling, the tempeh and walnut filling is just, you know, has a, you know, I don't like to compare plant-based foods to meat, because I never did like meat, but I have to say the tempeh walnut filling, there's really only one way to describe it, and that is kind of meaty. But again, that's the only thing you have to make for this meal. Again, there's avocado, there's lettuce, there's tomatoes. You can have a really nice vegetable side dish, and everybody assembles their own at the table. So these kind of tortilla dishes, it looks like a party, but the cook has done very little. So I became very fond of this kind of food meal style.
And on this plant-powered diet program that you have here too, you have recipes for those desserts that you don't, you know, they think you got to deprive yourself because there's all those dairy products and eggs and most of these desserts, but you have some really healthy-looking desserts in there too.
Well, thanks. I guess the book's focus really is about getting dinner on the table. So I gave desserts maybe a tiny bit of short shrift. There's a lot, as you know, there's a lot of really amazing vegan dessert recipes and vegan baking recipes on the, both on the web and in books. But I do have a couple of things here. I'm very fond of chocolate. And I think probably my favorite treat here that I make frequently is the unbaked fudgy brownies, which have all of 7 ingredients, and I know a lot of my readers have made them as well. They're pretty amazing, and you know, you don't bake them, you just you make it, put it in the fridge for 30 minutes or so, and you have this really rich but totally healthy dessert based mostly on dates and not on flour.
Well, Nava, we've come to the end here, and I want to mention again, the name of the book is Plant Power, Transform Your Kitchen, Plate, and Life with More Than 150 Fresh and Flavorful Vegan Recipes, by Nava Atlas, and it's published by Harper Row. And Nava, for those that want to know more about you and your work and all that, you have a website too, right?
I do. Please come visit me at vegkitchen.com, where I have, you know, tons of recipes, a lot of health tips. I actually do have an article about apple cider vinegar, which is a very popular article, but you know, all kinds of things, and we're posting probably at least 10 new posts each and every week. And plus our Facebook page, which you can get to through the website.
Well, Nava, I want to thank you so much for being with on the program today, and I wish you the best of success with your new book. And also, as you go out and teach people a healthier way to cook with delicious recipes, nutritious and delicious recipes, that can really contribute to one's health and longevity.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Nava.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for today's program. Remember to visit our website to listen to all our programs at healthandlongevityradio.com. Until next time, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.